It's not.
Ryan, it is an AM podcast.
What podcast is that?
The Quarantine Cast, recorded on February 25th, 2021. This is episode 230.
This is fucking ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you hear it and it really sinks in. 230 must just be one of those.
Yeah.
What?
It goes on in weird little spurts for me. Mm-hmm. It'll be like, oh my god, episode 85, episode 86, episode 87. Every single time it's just like this full realization that, yeah, we're not where we're supposed to be right now. And then like for the next 40 episodes it'll be fine, and then 130. Oh shit. 132. What the fuck? And then we're fine. 198. What are we doing? Nah, I don't give a shit. 230 though. Oh my god.
There are enough episodes. You can start breaking these out into eras of the Quarantine Cast. 1 to 50, right. Getting their feet under them, trying to figure stuff out. Then switch, oh god, what did we call it for a while? Last summer, the
Rage Against the Machine.
Basically, yeah. And now we're postmodern, we're depressed, I don't know. That's the current era.
The Depressed Cast.
Yeah.
The Depressed Cast.
Just add cast to any verb, adjective, or noun.
The DC. So, it says 11 months ago on the official Quarantine Cast Episode 1 page on SoundCloud. I don't see a date, but do you guys know exactly when we decided and uploaded the very first episode?
I should be able to
pull that up. It was early March.
I don't think it was early. Wasn't it at least mid-March?
I didn't
start working from home until I think March 13th or something like that.
I distinctly remember all of this really, really becoming what it is now last St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day was the day that I got back from Florida, at which point I transitioned to working from home.
Yeah. My like first day working from home. My first day working from home was March 13th. It was a Friday. And it was supposed to be like a test out day that we had on Monday or Tuesday. We were like, on Friday, we're going to do a work from home just to like make sure everything works in case we have to do it. And then and then they were like, hey, guys, so we're going to stay that.
Yeah. On Spotify, it just says March 2020. Darn. Really wish that.
I know. And for me, it says 11 months ago.
Okay, here we go. Quarantine Cast, episode 1.
Also, we had a giant meeting where everyone in the office gathered together in the same room to talk about the work from home thing. And now looking back on it, it's like, wait, what? What? We gathered everyone. It was like 70 people crammed into one room.
Oh shit, I didn't start doing the recorded on format until a little later. Let's see if I can
I realized that I have that episode's recording on my hard drive.
March 18th, 2020 was episode 1.
Huh.
That was when we uploaded or when we recorded?
We uploaded.
Both.
It would have been that same day, I think.
I see mine says created March 18th at 1 o'clock p.m.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're coming up on a year. Very close to a year.
What are we going
to
do for the year anniversary? Kill ourselves?
Yeah. 1 year is too much.
I think yes, but we kill ourselves slowly through drinking.
Ha, that sounds like your guys' game.
Hey.
It's an older man's game. Those kids just want to lay down in our beds and lay there and not do anything for as long as it takes to die.
Maybe vape.
I don't think that kills you.
Somebody's in the pocket of Big Vape.
Can vaping have adverse health effects over a long term? Of course. Will vaping kill you in the same way that just, like, drinking copious amounts of alcohol will? No.
I mean...
Cigarettes can kill you, yeah. But it's not like
cigarettes,
you're one
same
and
thing.
Done.
Yeah. You couldn't just smoke hundreds of cigarettes until you die. Like, it would still take a long time for the adverse health effects to develop.
Mm. Do you think you could smoke enough cigarettes in quick succession that you would just suffocate?
I mean, probably. I mean, you guys have seen the clip of Kramer from Seinfeld where he's like chugging the beer with two cigarettes out of his mouth. And then he's still like smoking them, and like after he finishes the beer, he goes, bah, 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 and like smoke comes pouring out of him. Like, what the fuck? That's some physical
he's
acting right there.
Speedballing with beer and nicotine. Which one gets me first?
It's impressive.
Mm.
But yeah. I mean, yeah, why not? I mean, we're going to hit episode 365, it feels like, at this point.
Yeah.
And then it'll be, yeah, a year's worth of recordings. You could listen to an episode a day, and it would take you a year to get through them.
I forget the exact statistic, but I think our year-end SoundCloud roundup said that we uploaded 200 hours of audio in 2020.
What are we doing, guys?
Yeah. How many hours have you guys spent on this with, you know, me around 200 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The recordings.
I...
And then uploading, but that's not really an active part. Yeah. And then you guys, yeah, like editing or like, yeah.
Every week I spend a couple of hours doing the highlights, although that is a fairly recent thing.
Yeah, I guess.
We weren't doing that the whole time.
I'm probably like 300 hours. Takes another, these are pretty easy, another like 20 minutes to edit and upload.
Damn, man.
Yeah.
We're dying on the vine.
We made
and we're all making lots of money off this work we're doing, right?
Yeah. Getting so we're much making, clout.
We're making lots of money in terms of money that would have otherwise gone to therapy and other
methods. Hey, I don't need to go to therapy. I can talk to you guys, right?
Well, more
you guys
like,
are equally equipped in a sound state to be my therapist, right?
It's more just, I think, coping, right? Like,
I mean,
in terms of other coping mechanisms, yes, we have made money because, yeah, you could have bought copious amounts of alcohol or whatever else you do to cope instead.
So this is actually a great time to bring up that you guys should expect an invoice for the emotional labor I've had to put into this podcast coming to you in the mail pretty soon.
Oh,
there you go.
Well, then you should expect a contractor's invoice for all the hours I put into the video and photo editing.
You guys should
just call it even.
You guys should expect a performer's invoice for all the hours I've spent fucking carrying this shit on my back.
Oh my god. I am Ryan, talker of childhoods.
I am the Hodor of this podcast. Not in terms of speaking, but in terms of strapping you to my back and walking.
Ryan, I will cut you a residuals check right now for 45 cents. Here you go.
It's that good shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Yeah, the emotional labor. Lucas is, yes, definitely the therapist of the group. The one solving everyone's problems and just, you know, generally being the guy. The fucking dude.
Have you
Andrew
ever...
is the...
Oh. Okay. Okay. No.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, wait, like, did you want me to finish that? I mean...
Through a lob pass up towards the rim and then it just kind of clanked off the backboard and...
A little bit of a break.
I didn't know we were doing our own.
You don't have to do your own. I did Lucas's. I guess I thought maybe Lucas could do Andrew. I don't know.
Oh.
But since you did yours and Lucas's, you were going to do
did
mine.
Did I do
too.
Mine?
Yeah, you were the backbone.
I did a fucking joke about how I was single-handedly carrying the podcast. I didn't think you guys actually thought, well, yeah, that's Ryan's opinion of how he works on the podcast.
Yeah, Ryan.
I thought
you
guys read it as a joke.
Ryan.
No, we did. I thought you were still making jokes.
Oh. Well, that's a bit of an insult to Lucas, I guess.
No, Ryan, you are a constant source of entertainment and new information on this podcast. And Andrew, you very much the emotional core of it, very much just being able to espouse on what we are all feeling right now in a way that I don't know if I fully have the capacity to, and appreciate that.
Guys, I'm an empath.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I think we've talked about it before in the podcast. It's people calling themselves empaths is my least favorite things.
They're the exact opposite of empaths, probably.
Yeah, exactly. People that call themselves empaths are always the people that are just emotionally toxic and are like, I don't want to deal with your problems. Because people that call themselves empaths usually use it in the way of, guys, I can't try to experience what you're experiencing because that would be too emotionally taxing on me. Because I experience your emotions stronger. It's like, shut up.
No, it's the people that don't think that empathy is a thing that everyone experiences because they can't put themselves in other people's shoes. They can only see the world through their lens. So yeah, ironically, the people who consider themselves empaths are almost universally probably like experiencing less empathy than the rest of us.
Yeah. At one point, they try. Someone's like, hey, really try putting yourself in that person's shoes. And then they tried and it hurt them. And then they're like, well, should never do that again.
Yeah.
I say what you about social media, but it definitely has revealed that sheltered and privileged people, which means some of the most successful people, actually just kind of fucking idiots. How often they will just espouse about something like empathy, a basic concept that they're just discovering, which makes them think that, do other people know about this? I gotta tell other people about this.
And also make sure that they don't ever bother me with their feelings.
I think it was the CEO, I put this in the voluntary viewing doc, it was the CEO of Barstool, who in...
Yeah, Portnoy?
No, like the actual CEO, I think Portnoy's the founder, but she discovered on her podcast what the male gaze was recently. Do you guys know about this? Was very much the energy of that segment of the podcast, which is particularly ironic because Barstool Sports, fucking
literally
half their shit is the male gaze. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they became a thing. Mm-hmm. But also, it's like we all know about this. We all know what this is. How did you just find out?
Because the exact same reason that she would agree to be the CEO of Barstool.
Yeah.
Mm.
That is, those things could only happen to the person who agreed to be the CEO of Barstool. Someone who is ignorant enough to do that, while still like pretending that no, it's everything's great and fine and normal and not toxic at all, is the same type of person, who would not even have ever heard of something like the male gaze.
Or even just by living their life as a person and experiencing media, realizing that this was a trend and then maybe expressing mild surprise that there was a name for this thing you knew was happening, but you never, I don't know how you go your entire life as an adult without connecting those dots. I don't get it. Yeah.
By being a sociopath.
Yeah, okay, that would do it.
I mean, I think it's Tommy Boy, right, is the classic example of fucking, like, Tommy comes home and his dad, before his dad dies, spoiler alert, his dad dies in the movie, and his dad's new wife is, like, coming out of the pool, and it's literally, like, pan up from the ankles, like, all the way over her body, and it's just, like, complete and utter, like, put it in the dictionary.
And then,
next to male gaze.
And then the movie does the same thing like half an hour later when they're in the hotel and that one European chick decides to go skinny dipping for some reason.
That's right. And David Spade is...
They're like, fuck, we need a shot for this. What do we do? Okay, remember 16 pages ago? Yeah, flipping through the script. Oh yeah, that shot was great. Let's just do that one again.
To be fair to the movie, they do endlessly rip on David Spade for creeping on her in the pool. For the rest of the movie, he's referred to that creep who jerks off looking at women that are skinny dipping in the pool.
Good movie, so, by the way. Holds up, no, I think.
Tommy Boy's pretty good. Yeah. It's got some outdated shit in it, but like, it's usually not taking overt delight in it. It's usually undercutting it in some way.
Right.
Pretty good. Pretty fucking good movie. Wait, no, you're the butcher. God damn it. Ugh. Tommy Boy and Black Sheep.
Ooh. What's the best Chris Farley movie?
Separated twin movies. I mean, probably Tommy Boy.
Eh.
I watched Beverly Hills Ninja and...
No, that... Mm-mm.
It's just not that great. What do you think is the best Chris Farley movie, Andrew? Is it Shrek?
Well, you...
Oh my god.
Recorded most of the movie.
You could make an argument.
I want to hear that cut. I really
There's clips out there. Look for them.
Okay.
There's clips of, like, it's like an animatic, like the drawn storyboards, and then it's, yeah, Chris Farley's voice at Shrek. It's very different, for sure.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I haven't seen that many Chris Farley movies, so I don't know.
There aren't that many.
Yeah, there aren't that many, to be honest.
Yeah, okay. Film career.
Yeah. Black Sheep, Tommy Boy. He was the bus driver on Billy Madison, which was actually a fucking great role.
Yep.
Yeah, Beverly Hills Ninja.
He also appeared in the music video for Red Hot Chili Peppers' single Soul to Squeeze.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, in Wayne's World.
Yeah, Tommy Boy, Black Sheep.
That's...
I mean, Beverly he died Hills young. Ninja.
Yeah, you're right. There really aren't that many. I don't know why I thought there were so many more.
He died at 33. I mean, not if you look at most actors' career before they were 33, he probably did more than most of them.
Yeah. That
5-year SNL run, that already.
Yeah, that takes up a chunk.
Madison Zone.
No, I like Tommy Boy more than I like Wayne's World.
I mean, he wasn't... It's a little disingenuous to call Wayne's World a Tommy Boy movie, or a Chris Farley movie.
Right.
It is a little... He's very small in terms of his role there.
But no, the Shrek animatic with Chris Farley's voice is very much... It's very much like a Berenstain Bears situation, kind of, where you can imagine a universe where it was this, but because we are not in that universe, it just sounds fundamentally wrong.
I mean, yeah, it's a different direction for sure. Mm-hmm. I think Shrek was more of like a slovenly loser type than...
Also Scottish.
...he ended up being. Well, no, Mike Myers recorded the entirety...
Yep.
...of Shrek a Scottish accent, and then said, I think it'd be funnier with the Scottish accent, and they redid it.
Can you imagine if, like, you're an actor, like, a voice actor that had to play opposite of him for some of those scenes? You're like, oh, man, I'm glad to be done with this. Can't wait to see it in the movie theater. And they're like, wait. What if we did it again, but funnier?
Yeah. Eddie Murphy, who at the time was just objectively a bigger star than Mike Myers, like... Yep. I've been like, you want me to re-record the entire thing? I have almost as many lines as you do. Like, I'm... What?
Oh, man. Also, this was... Okay. DreamWorks, a little established at this point. Not giant. Before this, they had only made Ants, The Prince of Egypt, Road to El Dorado, and Chicken Run...
All four of those are absolute bangers. All on the same tier.
What was the second one?
The Prince of Egypt, which...
I don't think I've seen that.
Beautiful movie.
Oh, no, I was including that as the actual banger, and Chicken Run...
Road to El Dorado is a fucking banger.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm saying that Chicken Run is not the same as the others.
Chicken Run was good. Wait, what's wrong with Chicken Run?
Have you not seen Chicken Run? I think I've seen Chicken Run.
Yeah, it's claymation.
Hey, Andrew, you're not thinking of Chicken Little.
I'm not a Wallace and Gromit fan, so I didn't like this shit.
Oh,
I'm not a like Wallace and Gromit fan. I'm not like, oh man, I wake up every day and think about the penguin, like in Wallace and Gromit. But like, I don't know. It's charming, and I remember it being pretty good.
But no, Road to El Dorado and Prince of Egypt, both very good movies.
Ants is better than fucking Bug Story.
Oh, absolutely. Bug's Life. Yeah.
Don't get Bug Story. Ants is better than a Bug's Life. Don't at me. Like, it's just true. Is it knockoff A Bug's Life? Sure.
Absolutely.
Is it better than A Bug's Life?
Did it better.
Well, actually, there's beef behind that, I think.
Yeah, no, that's why they did it.
Right. That, like,
they made Ants out of spite, 100%. Yeah, they got wind that A Bug's Life was being made because a lot of the executives had come over from Pixar.
Mm-hmm. And they knew it was in kind of development hell, so they thought, we're going to make this movie as quickly as possible, even though... We want the Prince of Egypt to be our first movie for that one to come out first, but they muscled us out of our weekend release for that. So we're going to beat them two theaters with a different movie ripping off their next movie's premise.
Ants starred Woody Allen. Yeah. I don't know if we've gone through the cast of Ants, but it's got some shit in it.
I think and Patrick
Sylvester
Warburton.
Stallone.
Oh, no, wait. He was the muscly one, yeah.
The cast of Prince of Egypt includes Val Kilmer, Ralph Fiennes, Michelle Pfeiffer, Sandra Bullock.
Ray Fiennes,
Jesus Christ.
Just gotta make sure people will freak out.
Jeff Goldblum, Danny Glover, Patrick Stewart, Helen Mirren, Martin Short, Steve Martin, Anne Lockhart. That's a cast.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've seen it at all. What's it about?
It's about Moses and
Ramses.
Like Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat or whatever?
No, it's just
like
a retelling of that story.
Egyptian Prince Moses learns of his identity as a Hebrew and his destiny to become the chosen deliverer of his people. They put, like, money into that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a good movie. If you liked Road to El Dorado, you'd probably like this one.
Mm-hmm.
Road to El Dorado had a blowjob scene. I don't think that those two movies were the same.
I get, like, Road to El Dorado is definitely a funnier movie, but this is just as well done.
Oh, sure. Hold up. Okay, I did not realize Road to El Dorado was a financial flop, and also Rotten Tomatoes only gives it a 48.
What? That's a good movie.
Rotten Tomatoes does not give it a 48.
Okay, like, has it aggregated it to 48.
But no, that's not it either. 48% of critics thought it was watchable. That's all that means.
Is that
it's
the user score or is that the critic score?
That's what's listed on Wikipedia. Yeah. It's listed as on Wikipedia.
Okay.
So that means, 48% of critics have given it a, like, it's a, like, you should watch it. Like, it's worth watching score. Mm-hmm. That's how Rotten Tomatoes works. So no one gave it like a 4.8 necessarily.
No. We know, but I just don't.
I don't think
how,
Lucas.
Like,
I'm just making sure that it's clarified.
Yeah,
for sure.
I was privy to that. That was banked in my mind somewhere. Did not articulate that in the moment, but thank you for making that clear to our listener audience. Thank you. Everyone else.
Yeah. No. Road to El Dorado's a fucking banger.
Mm.
That's a legit banger, man. Chicken Run is a banger. I don't know what Andrew's talking about here.
What a dinger.
When's the last time you watched Chicken Run?
I mean,
be honest.
Probably on TV when it went to TV. I don't know.
Did it go to TV? I don't even know.
I don't know. I know I haven't seen the whole thing. I just didn't get into it.
I didn't like this movie. I mean, I didn't watch it, but...
And that's why I didn't argue and say, like, no, this movie was bad. I just said I didn't like it.
No. Mel Gibson? What more could you want?
all these movies have randomly studded casts.
Okay, this one just has Mel Gibson.
Oh, really?
I mean, Imelda Stanton, the fucking Dolores Umbridge from Harry Potter.
Oh.
Who's going to be the queen in the next season of The Crown.
I was about to say, like, this is a mostly English cast in Chicken Run. These might be people, but they're totally out of any frame of reference we have.
They're English. They might be people, but we can't be sure.
I mean, Mel Gibson is, like, the overtly American, like, hey, guys, like, why are you guys all so down? Let's figure it out. Like, you know. Yeah, it's very representative.
Also, Andrew, I was going to back you up and say that, you know, yeah, I get it. Watch a movie, doesn't really click, you drop it. Chicken Run is 84 minutes. That...
it's power through, man.
Barely a movie.
Grin and bear it. That's what I say. You know, I'm clicking on all of them, and for most of them, Chicken Run is their number one thing that they're known for.
That's fair.
Tim Burton's Corpse Bride.
Oh, okay.
Jane Horrocks. But I'm guessing that means she's just like a voice actress, so wouldn't be super recognizable necessarily. Miranda Richardson, The Crying Game. I've heard of that. I've never seen it.
Isn't that supposed to be really fucked up?
The Crying Game. A British soldier kidnapped by IRA terrorists soon befriends one of his captors, who then becomes drawn into the soldier's world. It's got Forest Whitaker.
All right.
Wait, is he British?
No way. No way Forrest Whitaker is British.
I mean, this is definitely a British movie. No, he's born in Texas.
Yeah.
What is Forrest Whitaker? Does he do an accent? That'd be fucking awesome. an American doing a British accent for once instead of the opposite?
It happens.
Tony Slattery, is he related to John Slattery? Probably not, right? No. Born in northern London to working class Irish immigrants. Unless John Slattery has a different background than I'm expecting of him. Yeah. I mean, Imelda Staunton, I definitely know. But I don't know if she was big then, because I think her big thing was Harry Potter. No. Very British. Very British. Although Sweeney Todd.
Oh.
Who was Beetle in Sweeney Todd?
Ringo.
What?
Ringo from the Beatles was Beetle in Sweeney Todd. I'm making a joke.
I see.
Making a joke!
We'll cut that one out in post.
Beetle. Oh, I see. Yeah. Judge Turpin's lackey.
Ah. Oh, you meant who was... Okay, I see.
Yeah, who was Beetle. Okay. I was just like, wait, this guy was in Sweeney Todd. I've seen Sweeney Todd. Who's Beetle? And then I looked a little closer at him. He was also in Harry Potter. He was the rat guy. Peter Pettigrew? Is that it? Where he was like...
Oh.
Yeah.
He was Ron's pet rat for a while before it came out that he was just a man.
Nice.
Nice.
Oh, that... Knowing J.K. Rowling's politics more clearly now, that...
Don't say it.
Wait, what? Men are rats? I'm curious. What? I'm curious where you were going.
No, actually, I don't know if I knew where you were going.
we'll
continue this conversation off podcast. let's do a clap sync and wrap it up, and then we can get to that.
Get to the important shit.
That's fair. Clap sync and wacky post roll. Another unknown quote again.
Lame.
Just punching that time card in and out, aren't you, time that is?
Just bashing it.
Mm.
She's mashing it. I didn't have captions on this whole time.
Oh. Do we have anything highlight worthy?
I mean, it's not necessarily highlight worthy. In theory, it would be for ones that aren't overtly highlight worthy, and then later we think about, oh, yeah, what if we do a best of Harry Potter references, and then we'd be like, oh, I mean, nothing in this episode, and then, yeah.
Well, we just have the intern do that.
Listen to hundreds of hours of audio as we have talked about and we've uploaded recently.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine if that was your, like, intern job, to, like, scrub through hundreds of hours of mediocre podcast and not get paid?
I mean, we'd want them to transcribe.
Yeah.
Like, then you would only have to scrub through once, and then we could lay them off and
or
be like, all right. Thanks.
Good. Good luck with that sports medicine degree.
Jeez. Wait. Is there something wrong with sports medicine? Now I'm curious.
I was just trying to think of what is the most unrelated coursework somebody could take while being an intern for a mediocre podcast, and sports medicine is what came to mind. So this isn't even beneficial to them in terms of working in their chosen field.
I thought you were dunking on people in sports medicine. Yeah. I was like, wait, I think that's a pretty
like good luck with that career. Art history degree, like that type of thing.
That's what I thought you were going for.
No, people in sports medicine probably make more than us.
No, probably they do. It's a very lucrative business.
Ryan's eyebrows doing a lot of work right now. Good for him.
Entry-level sports medicine, like high school athletic trainers?
That's fair.
I don't know. I'm not dunking on sports medicine people, once again. I'm really, really not dunking on you. Like, everyone knows sports medicine runs deep on social media. Like, they will fucking cancel your ass.
Now, do we think you should be a priority for vaccination?
I mean, depends on your age and your health history.
That's true. That's fair, yeah.
And I mean, a little. More than, like, someone who works an office job and works from home.
Yeah, probably. Okay, yeah.
People that have to work in person with people.
Maybe not, like, first responder tier, but definitely above definitely where we're not, at.
Yeah. No. Not people working in the ER with COVID patients. Definitely not that.
Hmm. Tune in tomorrow when we rank the different tiers of who we think deserves to get the vaccine first.
You heard it here first, folks.
It'll be great.
Number 7 will surprise you. Thank you all so much for tuning in to episode 230 of the Quarantine Cast. If you like what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, etc. Check us out on Instagram and YouTube, where we post highlights. Send us your questions and business opportunities to voluntaryviewing@gmail.com. Check out our Patreon if you are financially able to support us. Check out the Act Blue link in the description down below if you'd like to support a collection of great causes. And follow me at LucasDeWriter on Twitter to keep up with all of my writing. I don't want to put this on too high a pedestal, but ooh, got a doozy. Got a little doozy coming out tomorrow. You're not going to want to miss it. Yeah. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you again for listening, and good luck out there.